Welcome back to another installment of the Fantasy Firestorm here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenbaugh, and there is a special reason we are talking championships today. With the conclusion of Week 16 in the NFL, most fantasy football leagues around the globe have crowned a champion. And I know that several of you listeners have taken home league titles because my inbox has been filled with positive notes this week from savvy front office owners who waded through 16 weeks of decision-making and came out on top with a little more pride and a little more weight in their pockets. So from all of us here at the NFP, congratulations to all the champs out there. Job well done. I myself celebrated a hard-fought league title on Sunday evening as the 2009 NFC Experts League came to a close with a 131-128 NFP win over good friend Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports. This, despite opening the 2009 season at 0-4, which had me thinking that the idea to host an Experts League on our website was going to turn into a disaster. But after ripping off 9 wins over the final 12 weeks, I can talk to you from the comfort of my office, a champion. I actually had to sweat this bad boy out. I was in the press box at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday for the Birds-Broncos game, and I got time for a quick moment here before our guest joins us. But, you know, you're up in the press box, you're watching the game, and, you know, everyone's got their computer windows open. You know, you got ESPN, you got CBS, you got NFL.com for the main reason that you want to know what the other scores are around the league. Now, obviously, you're paying attention to the game at hand, the Eagles and the Broncos. You're paying close attention, but you just want to kind of track everything else. Well, meanwhile, I'm up there. I've got the Cardinals-Rams game open because it meant the world to me with the Cardinals defense in the fourth quarter. And I have a feeling that the two guys sitting next to me were trying to figure out, A, why is this kid sitting next to me watching the Cardinals-Rams? And B, why is he pouring sweat in a game that clearly means nothing? So they probably think I'm some degenerate gambler or something. But fear not, it was just a fantasy football championship game. And between the Beanie Wells late touchdown and the Adrian Wilson interception, it got me the 3-point win. Which, To wrap this story up, I returned home from the Eagles game to catch the end of that Cowboys-Redskins snoozer and promptly celebrated the league title in proper fashion at a local pub with a few too many Jaeger bombs and Coronas, which ended up leading to a very unproductive Monday. But hey, if you're going to carry guilt about celebrating a fantasy championship, you might as well pack up your stuff and move to communist North Korea. Because here in America, we celebrate championships. We celebrate champions, and we celebrate them hard, sometimes by puking. But enough of that. I want to remind all of you that the 2009 Fantasy Awards are going to be handed out in the very near future. We got the first team All-Fantasy to announce, the postseason awards, and the All-Bus team, which I know is a big favorite for some of you after the responses I got last year to that particular column. Talking about the MVP award this year, that's what I've been getting a lot of emails about. And is there anyone more deserving than Titans running back Chris Johnson? He's 128 yards from 2,000 for the season, people. That does not happen often. He's averaging 5.8 yards per carry. That's ridiculous. He's ripped off 10 straight games with 100-plus rushing yards and has scored 10 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, during that stretch as well. I mean, if there's ever been anyone that's carried a fantasy team through the most important stretch of the season, it's got to be this guy. But I know there's other candidates out there, and I'm not saying Johnson's won the MVP yet. You're going to have to find that out for yourself. But when you look at those numbers and what this guy has done week in and week out, and ask yourself, how can he not be the fantasy MVP? So stay tuned for the upcoming articles, handing out all of the postseason hardware coming up in the next few days. All right, let's talk some real NFL football here. And there's nobody better to do that with than quarterback Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. Drew, you and the Saints have wrapped up home field advantage in the NFC for the postseason after the Minnesota Vikings lost an overtime thriller to the Chicago Bears 36-30 on Monday night. You've got the Panthers this week in Carolina to wrap up the regular season. Do you and the rest of the Saints starters expect to play four quarters in this one?
you know what? We're obviously the news of home field advantage just kind of came after last night's loss by Minnesota. So we're all kind of in that phase of evaluating, who's going to play and who might not play, and just trying to think about certain guys that might need to get healthy and that kind of thing too. But we always go out to win every game, regardless of who is on the field. So obviously we're playing to win.
Speaking of the Minnesota game last night, when you're in a situation like you and the Saints were heading into that game, meaning a Vikings loss gives you guys home field, do you find yourself watching the game and rooting for the Bears?
You know, it was one of those games that I actually tried not watching, just more so just kind of, hey, let's just wait and see. But obviously with the anticipation and the expectation, I think, trying to put the mindset of, listen, we're going to have to go to Carolina and we're going to put our best game together and we're going to win and we're going to claim home field advantage, on our own terms, as opposed to, waiting to see if somebody else is going to win or lose to determine that for us. We've always been in a position all season long where we've controlled our own destiny. And, I was expecting for that to be, for that to continue. But obviously, since we have won, the most games in the NFC thus far, we've kind of, towards the end of the season, it does become one of those situations where, at some point you're either going to win a game and claim home field, or somebody else is going to lose, and then that's going to give it to you, and it just happened to be that, the Vikings lost, so we get home field.
The Panthers are pretty hot right now and entered this game this weekend having won three of their last four, which include big victories over Minnesota and the New York Giants. Even with home field wrapped up, how important is it to play well and come away with a victory in a game like this where there are no postseason implications on the line for either team?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you always want to play well. Every time you step on the field, you're kind of putting yourself out there on tape, and it's somewhat of a, I kind of go by the saying, you're only as good as your next performance. And so regardless of what has happened in the past, how good your record is or bad, you want to go out, you want to play well. And certainly in our position, going into the playoffs, we want to be playing our best football, by the time that divisional playoff round comes. So, we're keeping in mind the fact that, we have some guys that still need to get healthy and that kind of thing. We still want to go out and we want to play well.
And that's one thing Lombardi always says to me is that tape never lies. So that's a real excellent point there about you never want to look bad on tape because it never lies. Last season, you entered the final game of the year, which coincidentally was against the Carolina Panthers, chasing Dan Marino's record for passing yards in a season. Now, I looked it up, and this year, you enter Week 17 against the Panthers with the chance to break the single-season record for highest completion percentage held by Ken Anderson, who set the mark of 70.55% with the Cincinnati Bengals in 1982. You're actually beating Anderson right now as you're completing 70.6% of your passes. A, were you aware you had a shot at this record? And B, what's the key to being so consistently accurate, especially when you're throwing over 500 passes in a season?
I knew that Ken Anderson had a record, and I knew that it was, just above 70%. But I wasn't sure exactly where I was. I mean, I knew that I was right around 70%. I was really just trying to focus on each game, how I could help us win. And obviously, typically the more passes you complete, the better chance you give your team of winning, or the more that you, move the football and get first downs and score points. But, I really try not to think about those things. I just try to do whatever I can to help us win. And, if we end up breaking that record, then that's great. But if not, I'm more concerned about the playoffs.
What about the rest of the NFC when you take a look at a lot of the teams? While the seeding is far from set, the six teams that are fighting for the NFC crown have already been determined. Now, when you look at this group of potential upcoming opponents, does anyone jump out at you as a team you'd prefer to play or a team that you'd prefer to avoid?
Actually, every team that is entering the playoffs, is a very good team. And, some of them have had to win, quite a few games in a row in order to get to where they're at. Philadelphia has had to win. I think they've won six in a row. Dallas came and beat us last week, and then went up to Washington and beat them pretty handily. So they look to be playing well. The Packers are playing well. They've won quite a few games in a row, with the exception of that, you know, heartbreaking loss up to Pittsburgh. But, you know, really that came down to the last play. So when you look at kind of the playoff picture of, you know, who's kind of, you know, claimed their division and have a home playoff game and then the wild card, I mean, they're all very, very good teams that are playing very well. It would be a huge challenge, obviously, whoever we end up playing.
And like you were saying, these teams are playing very well. And I think one of the things the NFC has this year is that the six teams that made the playoffs are the six best teams in the NFC. I don't think, you know, anyone's missing out, whereas some people may have made the argument last year that, you know, in the AFC, New England missed out with a bunch of wins. But, you know, so be the case. This year, it appears the NFC clearly has gotten the six teams that expect or deserve to be there. Excuse me. Now, after opening up the season with 13 consecutive wins, you guys have dropped two straight to the Cowboys and Bucks. What's the mood in the locker room amongst the team like right now? Is there any concern amongst the team or the coaching staff? Or, you know, is it just one game at a time like it's been the whole season?
You know, it's very much one game at a time. And, you know, when you're chasing, obviously, an undefeated season like we were, you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, you try not to let the pressure mount. You really try to focus on one game at a time. Obviously, there's a lot of distractions that are kind of attempting to kind of get into your, you know, your locker room and your team with media and everything else, just constantly wanting to talk about it and that kind of thing. But I felt like we always did a very good job of kind of insulating ourselves from that and just going out and playing ball. And, you know, unfortunately, we lost that game to Dallas, and you know, that was a tough loss and one in which, you know, obviously it felt like they played extremely well. We, you know, we did not play our best game. We got out-executed. You know, this last game against the Bucks was an interesting one just because, you know, we started off so fast. You know, we started off with a 17-0 lead, and, you know, we end up losing the game 20-17. And so you kind of ask yourself, you know, what happened, obviously, there, you know, for the last three quarters of that game. And, you know, definitely some areas that we need to clean up, you know, going into this week and into the playoffs. But, you know, I think really what that's created is just, you know, it's lit a fire underneath us and given us extra motivation to obviously clean things up and start, you know, getting back to playing our best football.
Some experts like to place a large amount of emphasis on momentum heading into the playoffs. But in 2006, the Colts finished the season 2-3 before they ripped off four straight to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. In addition, last year's Arizona Cardinals went 2-4 down the stretch before winning three straight games to make it to the Super Bowl. Do you believe that momentum plays a factor in a team's performance on Sundays, or is it somewhat irrelevant?
No, I believe momentum is huge, and I think momentum is huge going into the playoffs. You know, and you know, there's turning points. You know, there's defining moments in a team season, and you know, obviously last year with Arizona, and I can think to the Colts back a couple of years ago when they won the Super Bowl. You know, there was a time in December where, you know, hey, they lost 3 out of 4, or you know, there was kind of that feeling at some point of, you know, a lot of adversity, or you know, like the sky's falling on us, you know, and what are we going to do? But those teams were able to rally, and they were able to, you know, kind of bring it back together, and you know, they found a way to obviously create that momentum and get back on track, and I believe that that's something that we could do.
All right, let's get to this week's Inside the Huddle segment, where Drew breaks down a successful play from Sunday's game and tells you how he and the offense pulled it off. You can check out the video of this play by clicking on the link underneath the podcast. Today's play takes us to the first quarter of Sunday's divisional showdown with the Buccaneers. The Saints are at the Tampa 30-yard line, leading 7-0. It's 1st and 10 with a minute to go in the first when you drop back and hit wide receiver Robert Meacham for a 30-yard touchdown pass. Drew, tell our listeners what you saw coming out of the huddle, what made you go to Meacham, and how this play worked.
Well, you know, it was one of these kind of hard, you know, heavy play action passes where, you know, we still a really good run fake, and then I kind of boot out to the right and then set up, and Meacham has motioned himself across the formation, and, you know, that motion, you know, creates a little bit of, you know, confusion for the defense just because they're trying to decide, you know, well, do we bump a corner out with him, or does a corner travel from you know, across the formation with him. And then, you know, now the safety is trying to read, you know, what's happening in front of him. And, you know, we have the tight end from the backside on the play come run about a 20-yard basically crossing route across the field, and he ends up attracting the free safety, you know, and we call that, you know, free safety cuts this route. So he jumps this route, and all of a sudden now that corner who is bumped out on Meacham is left one-on-one with him. And, you know, Meacham coming in motion runs, you know, with speed vertically and then makes the move to the post. And, you know, he just got Rondé Barber kind of spun around. I think Rondé was thinking it was going to be a comeback or some kind of a shorter route outside. And then all of a sudden Meacham kind of threatens him vertically with speed and then breaks it to the post and ends up, you know, being wide open in the end zone for a big play.
Yeah, and you guys have had a lot of success with that play this year. Now, college bowl season is off and running. We've got a pick'em challenge going at the National Football Post between four of our writers. Somehow, by some stroke of luck, I find myself out in front at 7-4 right now, but that's going to fall apart at any moment, so I'm not going to get too excited. I wanted to get your thoughts on the big showdown in Pasadena for the national title game between the Texas Longhorns and the Alabama Crimson Tide. The Tide are currently a 4-point favorite, and I got to ask you, who do you like for the title this year?
You know what? I think that both those teams are very, very good, and I think both those teams are very, you know, deserving, obviously, to be playing that game against each other. But I'd have to say my favorite was Alabama. I think Alabama, with their run game and with the way that their defense is playing and their special teams and their returner, I just think that they're really playing well and they're going to be tough to beat.
I love it. I'm on the Tide as well. Although it surprised me a little bit that being a Texas native, you aren't backing the Longhorns.
Well, both my parents went to Texas A&M, so I can tell you something too.
Excellent. That's even more reason. Well, Drew, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on the show, and best of luck to you and the Saints this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
All right, thanks.
All right, that was quarterback Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, where his handle is Drew Brees, which is all one word. Also, check out his website. It's www.drewbrees.com. Well, that wraps up the final edition of the Fantasy Firestorm for this decade. Since I've only been hosting these podcasts since the beginning of this season, that shouldn't bring too many tears to anyone's eyes. But if you do shed a tear, that means I'm doing my job right, so feel free to let me know. I'll send you some Kleenex or an NFP Joe Fortenball t-shirt. You can use that to wipe your eyes. But from everyone here at the NFP, have a great New Year's celebration. Stay safe, be smart, and don't drive drunk. For Drew Brees, I'm Joe Fortenball. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next decade.
I took my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of